Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby. And today I'm joined by my favorite CMO, and I just offended quite a few people, but my favorite CMO, Wendy White, who is the CMO of Daxco. Wendy, thank you so much for joining me today.
Mason, I've heard you say that before, and I was 100% convinced you told that to every CMO. Now you said it publicly.
No.
So my heart is three times larger. Thank you.
Well, here's why you're my favorite CMO. One, I think you're wildly talented and dramatically underappreciated in the world of CMOs. Two, you were one of the first CMOs that actually let me interview them on a podcast. I think you were like episode 13 of the Marketing Ladder, which for those of you that didn't know, I had another podcast that was totally different than this, but it was a good time regardless. So anyway, Wendy, I'm excited to dig into it because since we last spoke on a podcast on how you build your marketing career as a CMO, you've continued to be an incredible CMO that is leading the charge at a couple of different organizations, and you're already integrating AI into the go-to-market strategy for Daxco. And AI has had a lot of hits and a lot of misses. So I really am excited to dig into it with you of what are you seeing that is working and not working currently as we look at AI tooling in the context of ABM. So why don't we just kick it off? Like, how are you using AI to even start finding the right audiences for an ABM program?
Well, let's start with who is my audience? Daxco, for those of you who don't know us, Daxco sounds like something from like an industrial tilt-up building in the middle of nowhere, but it's actually a pretty innovative software company. We've been around for 25 years, but folks don't know us because we are very specialized in fitness. So if you walk into a gym, Gold's, Crunch, your local YMCA, your martial arts studio, your local yoga studio, you're likely touching Daxco software because we power those experiences for fitness businesses around the United States. About 25 million folks a day work out in a gym that touches Daxco software. So that's one. Two, the needs of those audiences are very different. YMCAs, Boys and Girls Clubs, Jewish Community Centers, they act like a nonprofit. We know exactly who they are. We know every buying entity out there. Very traditional ABM play. And then we have a very long tail of the 40,000 martial arts studios in the United States, or the about 100,000 fitness gyms that are out there. So for us, we have to think very hard about our go-to-market motions, how we're using tools, how we're using the tools differently to personalize content for our audience, and then do both really personalized outbound and smartly where we can some like large scale outbound as well.
Thank you for specifically highlighting, like, these are not necessarily small, like these are household names, but also you are going after some of those smaller locally owned businesses. Like, you've got a wide gamut of accounts that you can go after.
Yes. And in different approaches, right? In the markets where we have those completely known buying entities, it's all about relationships. And so our approach there with AI is more content personalization at scale, right? Making sure we understand that customers' requirements, things that might be going on in the market for them, and make sure we're tailoring explicitly based on our Salesforce data, based on their usage data, based on their service case data. What are we reaching out to them about, and how do we enable our teams to be super smart about that? And so the couple things that we're doing there with AI, obviously content creation. I've been incredibly inspired by other fantastic CMOs in this space over the last 6 months. I go to small group CMO discussions. I also have been really inspired by, I don't know if you guys read this guy on Twitter called The Boring Marketer, but I get up every Saturday morning. This is how geeky I am. I get up every Saturday morning and read about what happened this week in AI and marketing from The Boring Marketer. And then I think about what am I going to do to go implement that? And I try not to bug my team on the weekend. So I do a lot of scheduling slacks. Did you read this Twitter? Did you read this article? Can we implement this workflow? Hey, can we build this orchestration in N8N to do this workflow for us to create this content at scale? So I am constantly experimenting, constantly learning from both my peers, folks out on the internet, and then I'm constantly A/B testing and deploying. And I think that you take the word AI out of that, there's nothing that's changed for how CMOs act. What I would just say is the landscape just moves really fast right now. And so you got to be out there moving as fast.
And what I appreciate, and I've genuinely appreciated about you, is you have been one of the people that is consistently focused on A/B testing and innovating and iterating, because there's a lot of CMOs and leaders that have the same playbook they've been running for about a decade. So as you have been focused on a lot of iteration, I'm curious, what are some of the things that you've been finding that have been working currently with AI?
One of the things that we have been experimenting with is AI outbound. So we started using BuiltWith to go find lists and pull in and enrich them with seamless, I don't know if I name these tools, I think I will. And then threw that into an AI outbound platform and try to do some mass AI outbound, not ABM, very much scrappy for sure. And we didn't have as much luck as we wanted. And one of the things I think is maybe didn't have the right tools, didn't have the right process, didn't have enough attention to it. And so as we've gotten to use Clay, probably another tool you're hearing a lot about because it's genius, but complex and expensive if you start using a lot of credits. We have a fantastic agency called The Kiln that's helping us out figure out how to implement Clay internally. They're amazing. Shout out to The Kiln. Those guys are amazing. Patrick, my guy, helping me out every day. So we've really improved that process. So we're using Clay for finding audiences, existing enriching audiences, existing our current customers with data points we don't know, finding influencers in our market, and then using that to enrich and personalize the kind of AI outbounds. We're using AI to do the outbounding. When somebody replies, obviously, then we have a real person touch them. When they give any kind of signal that they're, you know, have a pulse and are out there, then we have our BDRs follow up. AI by itself is never the answer in this case for outbounding. AI plus a smart human, AI plus constant A/B testing, keeping on top of it. Don't just let it run in the background. You're going to fail.
So what I'm hearing is the original version of AI outbound was built with and then data enriched through Seamless and just ran in the background and didn't get as much as you were hoping. But what you found is, and I keep hearing this phrase often, but like human in the loop. So we use AI as a great starting point, get it launched, and there's always a human that's got a touch on it just to make sure that one, it aligns with the brand and the message and like is correct. I'm sure we're all getting AI outbound that is like wildly off base. And then two, just to make sure that when there is a response, there's a speedy reply that is personalized in nature with a clear next step.
Very personalized, yeah. So another area that we have used AI, and I'm really got completely motivated on this one from both The Boring Marketer and Greg Eisenberger, and then also an expert who has a consulting agency now, but he was with Ramp at the time, who showed me the orchestration that he did for long tail content generation. And so then we, of course, built that out. Had an agent built that orchestrates every step of the process, 10 steps from analyze our current SEO, analyze our competitor SEO, prioritize keywords. Based on that, using our trained LLM on personas, take the keywords and our personas and come up with the AI topics. And again, human in the loop, yes. Now go build out the next 50 or 100 pages. Again, human in the loop. Yes, that's right. That topic is correct. That content looks good. Now go publish that content out to our blog. Another AI automation takes it, publishes it. Finally, we have a human in the loop. Take a glance at it. Is it formatted correctly? Do I think the image that the AI is matching matches everything? Press publish. We've 10x'd our content output for long tail keyword SEO. And that's the kind of stuff that you have to be protecting yourself on. Competitors are going to do this if you're not. And the training the AI bots and continuing to train Google, critical, critical. If you have long tail SEO gaps, as an example, one of our competitors started ranking for the payments page for our website for one of our primary products, Daxco Operations, our most important nonprofit product that we have in the market. And one of our competitors, because we didn't have good enough payments pages and good enough things about pricing, literally took our pricing keyword and was ranking for it over us. So we had to like get on top of that, but we weren't watching that keyword every day. And our AI was able to call that out, produce a ton of content around pricing strategies, other things, our billing process, et cetera, and reclaim that for us.
Super smart. And I love that you have these iterations in which AI can do first drafts, but it sounds like at every point, there's a person that is refining and working with whatever is being drafted before it's ever sent out to public. But it sounds like it's based on viable signals to fill in specific content gaps. That's Absolutely. Sounds like a really streamlined.
We're getting there. We have, like I said, multiple markets, and we have actually multiple websites still with multiple products on them. So we're not a single product company to a single market. Everything we do is complex. Take that thing, learn it over here, and now apply it to the next three markets, three products. A lot of moving parts for us to get it right.
And again, I also just think the simplicity that you're outlining of the ability for AI to generate first drafts exponentially easier. Like for us, I finally Googled ABM agency. And we're not on the first 10 pages of Google because we have almost no content that's not on LinkedIn. So our website has been almost exclusively a sales enablement tool. So I was like, shoot, that's pretty bad. But we've done 170 episodes of the podcast. So we have 170 transcripts that we could easily turn into blog content on 170 different topics.
You take N8N and a smartly trained LLM and you just a few steps of orchestration, boom, you've got yourself 1,000 pages of content like that. So if anybody wants the roadmap for that, those tools will publish the workflow so you can see it in a visualization. Anybody's welcome to reach out to me on LinkedIn and I'll happily send it. I won't gatekeep on things that are working there. I learned it from somebody else. I'm happy to inspire somebody to do that.
I'll take it. So
sending it over, sending it your way.
I love it. So one, we've already got outbound through BDRs, but we also have highly valuable content generation and SEO through AI. Are there any other ways that you guys are currently using AI to make your workflows overall more efficient?
Well, I can't talk about AI and not talk about Qualified and Piper. So we did launch Qualified and Piper on one of our three. We have three really important websites for our boutique fitness market, which is those mom and pop studios, martial arts studios, CrossFit studios, functional fitness. We launched AI Piper on that website because a gym owner, their mission is to help people and improve lives. And so they want to be on their gym floor as many hours as possible, helping customers get healthy and be strong. And so their hours where they might want to think about software might differ from the working hours that we have. So we deployed an AI BDR on our site to answer questions, be more human, provide good follow-up, help with super easy support questions. And that's been a dramatic game changer for us in terms of lead flow and quality from our site, but also just customer satisfaction because they can get quick answers fast. And that's, like I said, that's been a game changer in terms of the empowerment of our BDR and AE teams. In terms of lead quality, our lead quality has gone through the roof because we are essentially eliminating all the looky-loos that actually aren't looking for us. It's not a fitness member coming in looking for gym software, which, you know, in the fitness world, people can get confused pretty easily. We were getting some of that. Yeah, our lead quality today, I just looked this morning, 95%. Every lead that comes in, 95% of them are highly qualified. So in that segment, and I really attribute that to the improved SEO, to the use of Piper, and, you know, just improvements we've made to our site and our targeting overall.
I think it's one of the best examples that I've heard, because when you were talking about, so that's where I thought it was going. So forgive me for being a horrible person of these are lower ACV deals. Like we should route them to AI, but it's like, it's better for the buyer because they have weird hours and they still need answers and people may not be available. So like,
That's it. If it's during business hours and someone's available, we can always, the thing about qualified is you can always pounce in that chat and go in there. Yeah. Or AI is smart enough to know when to bring a human in the loop again, right? And so we can get a BDR in. But if it's off hours, frankly, like our BDRs are not online at 9 or 10 at night, but sometimes our customers are. They're not traditional IT buyers. We're talking people who either are owning a gym as a side gig or people who are passionate about changing lives and are out on that gym floor.
So we just came up with three highly tactical current use cases that are working well for Daxco leveraging AI. Yeah. I am curious, as you think through, because you guys have clearly iterated quickly as compared to many other organizations. I'm sure that there's been a couple of missteps or things that you learned the hard way as you started to roll out more AI. If somebody's trying to think through, how do I integrate AI into our ABM and our go-to-market programs? Like, what are some pieces of advice that you would give them to help them avoid some of the missteps?
Yeah, I think protecting your brand, like AI, I don't worry so much about hallucinations. That's what we used to hear. Last year at this time, everybody was talking about, oh, yeah, it's going to hallucinate. I don't worry about that. You know, we're using AI for image generation, for video generation. We use it to create a ton of content, answer stuff. We're now like obviously getting into a lot of how is AI going to drive support for us? Can we put AI in front of phone calls? We, like everybody else, is moving fast. What I would say is to a CMO, protect your brand. Make sure you're looking at those experiences and they reflect the tone, the quality, the brand experience that you want. As we've experimented, we've had to learn like how to do better training. Like we're learning a lot about training AIs, you know, what it takes to get that quality, what tools to use, where not to use AI. So we're working our way through that, and that changes every single day still. I just put a role in market yesterday for what I'm calling an AI ops or a GPT engineer role, because we have now so many workflows and a lot of our senior people, like VP level people, we're building these things out. And what I really need is somebody whose full-time job it is to maintain those. So that's a different thing. We're flipping our org chart quite a bit, you know, to think about these AIs as team members or as actual like tools and agents of our company. So we got to have an engineer to manage those. And they don't have to be an engineer, but it's a marketing role. But we're literally putting a full-time person in place to be our AI ops person. So got to think about like, you know, protect the brand, also protect your team. They can't be creative. They can't do all the things you need them to do on the high value stuff if they're constantly having to dig under the covers and update orchestrations or make sure things are working. So think about your ops team in a new way as well.
Yeah, and I just also love the framing. I've heard more people talk about the idea here of AI is something that is to be trained. And we don't talk about tools needing training previously, but the ability to sit down and give it a ton of information and say, this is how I need you to think moving forward.
Yep.
Massively game changing to create consistency and a brand voice and a brand narrative and ensure that all of our messaging is aligned before it ever leaves the building. Like that is hugely beneficial.
Well, it's also the other thing I'm thinking a lot about is I don't want to stifle innovation in my organization, but I do want to track it and know where we're using AI and make sure that we're living within kind of the responsible use of AI policies that we've put in place and that we're just doing a really good job of, again, layering that human loop piece so that we don't get things out of control. So we're thinking a lot about that. It's early days, but I do think that if you are a marketing leader, you should definitely be thinking about the ops aspect of the AI. Like, how are you going to track and manage the use? How are you going to track and manage team member adoption? How will AI become part of performance reviews? What are the questions that you need to ask in your hiring process now to make sure that the next person you're hiring is fully conversant with, agentic AI orchestration and, you know, an expert use of LLMs? Because frankly, I don't think I would hire a role in my team right now that person wasn't, right? Because it's going to be so critical to our day-to-day operations going forward. So it's changing a lot. It's not just go produce some content. It is like literally automate every workflow that we can. And we took, in my team, we took a company level OKR, or I committed to my management team and my board around my use of AI workflows to automate, improve our SLAs, improve our team collaboration, and frankly, improve our employee NPS by allowing our employees to work on high value, important things versus the tactical stuff that was holding us back from running and succeeding and being the agile, scrappy marketing team that we love to be, even though we're a relatively large company.
I thought I was slightly ahead of the curve, but Wendy, you're kicking my butt here. Like, this is great. So
I love that. I'll take it.
Well, Wendy, thank you so much for the time today. And just kind of, I'll put it really bluntly. I do a lot of these interviews and normally there's always good information, but I personally don't always leave super challenged to rethink about how I'm doing some things. But I gotta go talk to our team and like figure out how we're gonna start doing a little bit more. So like, one, thank you for the challenge. And two, thank you for just some practical examples of ways that people could get started. If people wanna find out more about you, where would you point them?
LinkedIn, right, find me, Wendy White, LinkedIn, CMO of Daxco, and love to chat more with anybody who's interested. And I have a PDF of all of our existing workflows, including what tools we're using that I will happily share with you today, Mason, and anybody who wants it. We're just continually updating it, but if you can learn from it and benefit from it, please do.
I love it. Wendy, again, thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Scrappy ABM. Listener, thank you for being here, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.